I must admit, when I read this first reading, I kind of scratched my head. I wondered, what is the church doing presenting us with this first reading? This is a man who's really in a bad, having a bad day, Job. Did you pick this up? I mean, it's amazing. He says, is not man's life on earth a drudgery? If in bed I say, when shall I arise? Then the night drags on. Who of us hasn't been here before? I am filled with restlessness until the dawn. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. They come to an end without hope. Remember that my life is like the wind, and I shall not see happiness again. The word of the Lord. What's going on here? And it's really testifying, Scripture is testifying for us to a real human experience there. Because I think we've all been there before, and we've had our bad days. And to inquire as to who Job is, of course, he's a figure of the Old Testament, and that means he's before the coming of Christ. He doesn't have the benefit of Christ, like you and I do. So that already puts you and I at an advantage in terms of these kinds of days. The best Job could do in terms of getting close to God was the temple. And the Old Testament describes, the heavens are my throne and the earth is my footstool. That's the way God's presence is described in the Old Testament. He's seated in his thrones in the heavens, and then he's just plopped his feet on earth. Where? In the temple in Jerusalem. And so that's the closest Job could have gotten to God at that time, was to go to the temple and worship him, which would be to worship his feet. And of course, Job never abandoned his faith in Yahweh, the God who took them out of Egypt, delivering them from slavery and brought them into the freedom of the desert for 40 years and then finally into the promised land. But that's not the only situation that Job is struggling with here. Job has also lost everything upon which he depended for any sense of himself or his self-esteem this side of the grave. He lost all his wealth, all his money. He lost his social status. He lost his standing in the community. He lost his sons that he could brag about to all the elders in town who were doing great things, and all his beautiful daughters. He lost them all. And as a result, as the story goes in the book of Job, you can read it, he didn't even have any esteem among the elders as they gathered at the gates and spoke. And even the youth would now mock him. They had no more respect for him because he lost everything that had propped him up before. But he didn't abandon his faith, even though his friends kept coming to him and saying, you know, if you just admit the sin that you committed against God, he'll relent, and then everything will go back, and you'll be fine. And Job said, in my conscience, I have nothing accusing me. And he stayed the course of his faith in the goodness of God, even though his friends kept trying to convince him otherwise. And you know, I go through this because there are a lot of men and women today. Now, I'm a Catholic priest. That means I talk to Catholics, all right? I'm not going to take in a larger swath than that right now. We are hemorrhaging members of the Catholic Church. I mean, that's no secret. I think most of you recognize that, and you can certainly see it in your own families. A lot in my own family, most of my nieces and nephews, for whatever reason, even though they had a lot of Catholic education, have abandoned the Catholic faith. And one of the things that's resulting from that is they can have bad days like Job did, But it even gets worse when the good things that you relied upon, like your popularity, your status, your power, your wealth, the things that give you purpose or meaning in your life that you get up for in the morning, those can be taken away. You can lose those. And in fact, you will lose those. But when you've abandoned your Catholic faith, you don't even have the benefit of God to be there to help you like Job did, because he wouldn't abandon his Jewish faith. And see, that's what's happening today. We have a lot of people abandoning the Catholic faith. And I get it that a lot of people want to say, well, I'll take Jesus and you can keep your organized religion. Guess what? Doesn't work that way. That's not the way Jesus set it up. There's no such thing as Jesus and me and to heck with thee. Let's take, for example, some of you belong to groups here. Some belong to the Republican Party. Some maybe belong to the Democratic Party. You associate with these groups. Why all of a sudden when we come to religion, we go this rugged individual approach? It won't work. Because God calls individuals, but he saves a people. He saves a people. And one of the ways this plays out in our faith, we declare it in our creed, there's two judgments we will face. When I die, I face the particular judgment that is particular to me. And in that particular judgment, I either am consigned to heaven, hell, or purgatory. And then at the end, when Jesus comes, we have the universal judgment. And at that time, if I'm in hell, my body will be reunited with my soul, thereby even intensifying the torments of hell further with the bodily experience of what's down there. But if I'm in the heavens, Jesus takes all of us, Paul says, and submits us to the Father as a group, not just as a bunch of individuals, no, as a group, to be with him forever in the kingdom. He calls individuals, but he saves a people. And that's the Catholic faith. We are a community. We're on a ship. There's a lot of us. And I'll be the first one in line to admit that many of us Catholics might not give many a reason to stick around. You've seen the news, all the bad news about the kinds of things going down in the Catholic Church. And as a result of that, a lot of people are abandoning ship, and they're done. But I'm here to tell you I'm not one of them, and I have seen a lot. I really have. And I'd like to just try to share with you why I won't jump ship and abandon the Catholic faith. And it goes back to an example that I'm going to take right out of history that God, I believe, has given us. It's the comparison of two people who negotiated a similar experience in their life very differently, one with faith, one without faith. The first figure in history, they were both contemporaries, by the way. The first figure is Friedrich Nietzsche. Friedrich Nietzsche was a great philosopher in the late 19th century. Some of you may have read some of his writings. The Genealogy of Morals is probably the most famous. He was an atheist, denied the existence of God, renounced his faith that he ever had as a child, and he grew up to become a very brilliant philosopher, and he's very influential today. And Friedrich Nietzsche went through a very dark tunnel, a very dark experience of nothingness, darkness, abandonment. He also, because he saw so many hypocrites in the university, he decided, I'm getting out of here. So he quit his job and he was in poverty. And as he was off his job in poverty, going through this dark tunnel. He's writing still because he was absolutely brilliant. And he wrote A Philosophy of the Will to Power and the Excellence to Which This Human Being is Capable, by way of going to a will for power that you then, once you get that power, can impose your values on others. And it gave us the philosophy of the Übermensch, which into English translates as Superman. That philosophy inspired another figure in history named Adolf Hitler, who lived that philosophy to its logical conclusion. Gain a will to power and then manifest it by imposing your values on others and seek to rule the whole world. That is the excellence of the German soul, and will exterminate all these other weak people that get in our way. Wow. A lot of self-reliance in that, I think. At the same time Friedrich Nietzsche went through his experience, there was a rather insignificant nun in a Carmel in Lisieux, France, by the name of Thérèse. She too went through a dark tunnel, experiencing this abandonment of God. A very dark place. You can read about it in her autobiography. The difference she made is she negotiated that same experience that Friedrich Nietzsche had with faith. And she came out the other end with her sanity intact. Friedrich Nietzsche, by the way, at the end of his life, went insane. He lost his mind. Saint Thérèse not only maintained her mind, but she came out the other end not with this will to impose herself on others and gain power for herself, but with a lot of good things intact that she could share and has shared with you and I and inspired all of us. I'm sure we'd all would say that to some level we've been inspired by this great Saint Thérèse of Lisieux. Beautiful soul. You can learn a lot from her. But she negotiated that same dark trial with faith. And the difference is this. When you abandon the Catholic faith, you abandon Jesus. And when you abandon Jesus, you give up protection for the goods in your life, and you're going to lose them. And when you start losing goods, you experience grief, sorrow, emptiness, anguish. Jesus is the preserver of goods. He doesn't come to tear you down, but to build you up. And that's what faith does. And you know, Job learned that, and he believed in it, but we have a better than Job here, and a better than Yahweh comes to us now as Jesus Christ from this altar. You don't have to go to a temple to worship him. He's coming from this altar into your life, just as he is with our holy communicants today, our first holy communicants. God of the universe is going from this altar, and he enters into your life. And we have people walking away from this today. There's not a good reason to. Life is tough enough. And everything you rely on that's not God, I guarantee you, it will give way one day, even if it's in death. You can't take any of it with you, none of it. But God is faithful. So if there's anything I'd like to leave you with today, it is, please don't abandon the Catholic faith. Stay the course of your faith. Stay the course of your confidence in Jesus to protect goods in your life and not become filled with grief because you've lost so many good things that he's given you. He doesn't want you to lose them. He wants you to grow them. And to recognize that in him there is protection. And we need that today because there's a lot out there that's trying to tear us down. We need Jesus today. So let's stay with Jesus and stay with the Catholic faith, because it means life for us instead of death. Prospering goods instead of losing them. And staying a course to the heavens instead of possibly losing everything in hell. May God be with you. May God be with us. And in Jesus Christ, may we experience the joy and gladness that comes from God coming into our lives from this altar.